And it is the combined generosity of God's people together that makes a huge difference. Some people individually can make a huge difference, but the larger plan is for all of us together to make a difference. And I think that's the first answer that I would give. We're part of that together, part of that body.
Can I get a little help from my 17 grandkids?
Listen, just ask. Ask, the scripture says. Okay.
After they take care of my
phone. 24, 16, 24, who's counting? Okay. We need to have a proper biblical perspective to close our lessons, our series of lessons that we've been doing now on wealth. We need to have a proper biblical perspective. We've been trying to provide that along the way, even as we've been talking about where do you get it from, what are its dangers, and how do you use it, as we've just completed. But in the end, what's the proper perspective? Well, the book of Proverbs has some things to say about perspective. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Perspective is really basically seeing the big picture, understanding the principles. You see the big picture and you understand the principles, then all the rest of the applications kind of fall into place. Proverbs chapter 23. This is one that's very instructive and also well worth memorizing. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5. Well, go back to verse 4. We talked about this earlier when we talked about loving or lusting for wealth. It says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Quit it. Cease. But then it says, verse 5, 23:5 of Proverbs, will you set your eyes on that which is not? That is not permanent. That's what that means when it says is not. Will you set your eyes on that which is not permanent? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Flop, 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 flop. And there they go. Gone. All right. Turn with me as well to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Here today, gone tomorrow. Proverbs 27. Verse 24. Important to realize, the portfolio does not always stay the same size. Proverbs 27, 24, first part of 24, for riches are not forever. That means material riches, material possessions. They wear out, they get spent because somebody's doing their job. Riches are not forever. They vanish because of reversals in the market. There are lots of reasons why they vanish. You don't hang on to what doesn't last. You hang on to true wealth and true riches. And that's why the Lord talks about investing in heavenly treasure. He's talking about investing in that which is permanent. I want here to tell you today that there are only two things in the universe, according to Scripture, there are only two things in the universe that are permanent. One thing is people, persons. Persons live forever, one place or another. Persons live forever. Second, the Bible says God's Word lives and abides forever. God's Word lives and abides forever. It's permanent. When you're investing spiritually and provide resources that will bring spiritual blessing to other people, then I say you're investing from the Word of God, that which is eternal, in those who are eternal. You're investing that which is eternal in those who are eternal. And those are the only two eternal things that there are. Why waste your time on things that aren't eternal? And I think that some of you have been an example to me of investing your life in that which matters and in that which is eternal and that which is permanent. And I'm grateful for your model and for your example. Wealth, that is material wealth, is always fleeting, is always transient, is never permanent. You hang on to it, not this way, but you hang on to it this way. Can't get out if it doesn't get held on to that. You hold on to it this way, it doesn't get out. Or you get out anyway, whether you want it to or not. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, Proverbs 11, 4a. Proverbs 11:4a. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Riches do not profit wrath. Very clearly, not only can't take it with you, can't the possessions. Nothing means anything when it comes to standing seat. All that matters is the that you have built up in heaven, the treasure that is of Jesus Christ, and that redounds back as God's well done, good and faithful servant, because on those cases where you have invested, if you will, of yourself, of your time, of your talent, of your treasure, and you have done the investing that invests that which is eternal in those who are eternal, then God recognizes that at the final judgment, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Yes?
Yes, to put a slightly different spin on this thing, and make the point made a little bit different is that besides what you said, this could be Exhibit A for the prosecution, i.e. Enron.
Ah! Okay. A reverse kind of a message. All right. Okay, I think I'm getting a point there. What matters in the end? What do you take with you? You take your character with you. You take your character with you. You take the person you have become with you. That's what it means to talk about your character. Who or what is the person you have become? The person you have become is who you are as a result of the decisions you make. Your character is who you are as a result of the decisions you make and the actions you take. So the decisions you make and the actions you take form you into a certain kind of person, and it is that that you take with you. It is that that you take with you into the next life. Certainly not the wealth. If you look at the tombs of the Egyptian pharaohs and of certain others who managed to put a lot of stuff alongside their coffin with the silly idea that somehow that was going to get transmuted into the other world and they'd have plenty to do with so they can live in the lap of luxury in the next world. That notion, which is a very materialistic, a very superficial notion of possessions, is certainly the pagan's notion. The pagan's notion is all that I have is what I possess. All I have is what I possess. The Lord Jesus had something to say about that. And if I can find it. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'll be right with you. Don't lose that thought. Matthew chapter 6. Where the Lord says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that is, in heaven or on earth, there your heart will be also. Your heart will either be in heaven or on earth. That was Matthew 6, 19 and 20. In 21, Luke chapter 12, where it talks about doing something with what you've got. He says, verse 33 and 34, sell what you have. You know, the whole point of this tax break is not so that we'll put it away in a sock. The whole point of the tax break is that we'll put it into circulation. And the whole point of what God puts in our hands is that we'll put it into circulation for the purpose of his kingdom and for his glory. And so he says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. And again, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's a passage I'm looking for which I can't find. That's all right. I can quote it even if I can't find it. Luke 12:15. I think I found it. By George. Yes. Here it is. Verse 15 of chapter 12 of Luke. Take heed and beware of covetousness. That's the greed thing that we talked about earlier. Do you have a need for greed? Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. If we define our lives by what we have, then our life evaporates, our life evaporates when the things do. That's making those things into your God, isn't it? And when the God goes, you have nothing. And that's the very warning that he's giving over and over again. A person's life does not consist. It is not the case that he who dies with the most toys wins, despite some of the bumper stickers. And we can enjoy the toys. But it is not the case that he who dies with the most toys wins. That is not the evidence of God's blessing in the eternity, though it is a blessing here, if used properly. One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Timothy. We'll close with this. We've talked about wealth being transient. We've talked about treasure in this world versus treasure in heaven. We've talked about that which appears to be real in terms of wealth and that which is not. First Timothy chapter 6. With this we'll close, maybe. Might have one other. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Ah, yes. Important principle. Verses 6 to 8 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Now, godliness, that's a right relationship with the Lord and a right behavior in your life. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. If you ever wondered where that verse was found, here it is. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, in spite of what the Pharaohs tried to do. Verse 8, and having food and clothing. Some of us like to eat well and dress well. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. What he's saying is, having our basic needs met is all we absolutely need. You know, if you're alive and you're breathing and you're dressed in such a way that you're not embarrassed and you had breakfast or you had a cookie when you came into class. Yep. If you had something to eat and you're wearing some clothing and you're alive and you're breathing, then you are provided for. You are provided for. You're God's beneficiary of his blessings. You're wealthy. You're provided for. Food and clothing. Be content. Now, I'd like you to close. I said I was going to close there, but I was lying. I ask for forgiveness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because now this is important for you to see. And I think Linda said something earlier, which I did I not get back? Mary said something. Excuse me. Well, hang on if I can get back to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I knew I heard that voice from over there. You remember I said he would talk to these Corinthians about how God was going to be blessing them if they would fulfill their promises and all of that. Verses 7, 8, and 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he compliments the Corinthians on their spiritual gifts. And he says in verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, they spoke with tongues, in knowledge, in all diligence, they worked very hard, and in your love for us, when Paul was there, they took good care of him. See that you abound in this grace also, the grace referring to the grace of giving. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others, the others in this case being those poor Macedonians who set such a good example. Verse 9, for you know, here it is, this should be underscored, this should be memorized, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, grace here refers to unmerited kindness of God. That first meaning of grace that we talked about earlier. There's the enablement grace and there's God's unmerited kindness. Here he's talking about the unmerited kindness of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. I tell you today, if you're a child of God, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you know that you're going to be in heaven when you die, the Bible says today, you are rich. And it cost Jesus for you to become so rich. Though he was rich and had all the privileges, perquisites of heaven, though he was equal and is equal with the Father, he chose not to hang on and to grasp, Philippians 2 says, hang on to all of that privilege in heaven. But for your sakes, he became poor and took on the form of sinful flesh, yet without sin, so that by being willing to be ignominiously and unjustly condemned and crucified upon that cross, by becoming poor, you could become rich. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You're rich today because he was willing to give up his privileges in order to become a misunderstood and mistreated human being here upon the earth. We're rich today if we're a child of God. I think we need to close because the class is coming in. Sorry if I've left any questions hanging out there, but hopefully you can come up and talk afterward. Let's go to the Lord now in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've considered this issue of wealth and riches and the significance of the real versus the apparent, the significance of the permanent versus the transient, as we recognize the difference between this life and the next, as we understand what it is to be content with such things as we have, even as we enjoy the things that you give, help us, Father, to strike that balance that only a believer can strike between the enjoyment and the open-hearted generosity that comes as a result of what you place in our hands. May, Father, that balance be struck in each of our lives. May the blessing that you have promised, as we use it for your glory and for your kingdom, as we use it to bless others, indeed, even as we enjoy it, because it's a gift from your hand. How we pray, Father, that we'll be so joyful in the work you've given us to do that we won't even be thinking about the amount, we won't be thinking about the time, we won't be thinking about anything except the joy of serving you. Grant these things, we pray, thanking you for the Lord Jesus himself, for the one who is inestimably rich in heaven as the Son of God, who is willing to become poor, be born ignominiously and die ignominiously for our sakes, willing to become poor, that we, through his poverty and through faith in his work, might become rich, eternally rich. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.